Shameless Media.
My parents were the kind of parents where they were like, you're going to fit into our lives. So they would take me to like lunch with at their friend's place.
Oh, and I
like
the same experience.
Yeah, and you just get left there. And so I'd sit in like someone's living room and just flip through books. I'd flip through the encyclopedia. So I read so much about fashion that way, going to like random people's houses and reading the random coffee table books.
Wow. Welcome to The Tastemakers in partnership with Bailey's Irish Cream Liqueur. I'm your host, Gemma Diamond, and in this very special fortnightly book club series, I sit down with your favourite tastemakers from a range of backgrounds. From beauty to lifestyle to food creators, over the next few months, we will be getting to know the tastemakers we reckon lead the charge in their respective areas of expertise. Since Bailey's and indulgence go hand in hand, I will of course be asking our tastemakers how they seek enjoyment in moments away from work too. Is it a glass of Bailey's on a Friday night at home, getting lost in a romance book for hours, or is it binge listening to a thriller novel on a long drive? We've got a lot to chat about, so let's get into it. Today, we are joined by Zara Wong. Hi, how are you?
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm so looking forward to this.
Thank you for being here. I know that you have spent some time in Melbourne yourself. We are in Melbourne's north. It is
my favourite part of Melbourne.
That's why we love it. It's busy. So if you, hear a couple of noises in the background, it's just adding to the environment, the mise-en-scene.
Ambiance.
Yeah, love it. All right, I want to start, given that this is a book club series, we've got to talk about reading. It would be remiss of me not to ask you a little bit about the books that you love. When did you first fall in love with reading?
I mean, I would love to say that I read something like Austen and I loved words, but I loved The Babysitter's Club.
Oh, of course. Which one were you? Claudia, the fashion one.
I thought I was Claudia, and also she was the Asian one. So I thought, yeah. I was like, I'm
no, I'm no, Claudia. I said the fashion one.
Yeah, the fashion one. And then I was like, am I Dawn? I love the environment. And I grew up with like Captain Planet. Yeah. And I was like, I like tie-dye t-shirts. And I was like six. And that was a thing back then. But no, I think I'm Claudia.
Yeah. The coolest
one.
Yeah,
who are you?
I would actually, I mean, not to make it about me, but I would actually read them and they would be beautiful descriptions of Claudia's outfits and I would write them down in a journal and try to recreate them with items that I had. But being six, the options were limited.
Yeah.
But I do recall parading around in, I had like a skirt over pants.
Like, but yeah, Claudia, and she had like, did it. She had like crazy hats.
Yeah.
And she had like made her own clothes and I was like, that could be me.
Yeah. And here we are working in fashion and beauty. I identify as a Claudia, but I liked the idea of being a Stacey, but that was also because I
Oh, everyone wants to be a Stacey. Yeah. We all wanted to be a Stacey. Yeah. We weren't.
Yeah, she was hot and blonde and mysterious.
Cool.
You are, of course, here because you love the world of books, clearly from an early age, had an affinity for them. But is there something that you have picked up from reading, maybe an idea, a line, a quote that has stuck with you or something that you've passed on to other people?
That's such a hard question. I was actually thinking about this on the way here. Mm-hmm. And I was like, look at all the books I read. And I was like, oh, I love this book because like, and basically it's going to sound really obvious, but the thing about reading is that you never know what is going on in someone's life.
Yeah.
And you never know what's going on in someone's relationship or what's going on in someone's like friendship or whatever. And the number of times that you talk to a girlfriend, you talk to like, you know, anyone, and they'll be like, oh, that person seemed so off today, what's going on? And I'm like, you need to read books, you need to know about like other people's internal lives.
Yeah.
And I think that is what I took out of it, even though it sounds really obvious.
See, I don't think that it does. You say that it sounds obvious, but I think with where we're all at and everyone on this series has a presence on social media, I think it can be so easy to just look at what something is presenting to the world and think it's as simple as that. But you know, make an excellent point. Yeah. I don't think it's quite that obvious.
Like, and then you go to school and you like read about the books, you get into it. And like, I think of Portrait of a Lady, Henry James, and there's this like famous chapter where it's like this internal monologue because she makes all these decisions and you're like, you're making a terrible decision. This is a really bad idea. Stop it. And then you're like, oh, okay. You're going through all this other stuff. And like, one of my favorite books is American Wife by Curtin Sittenfeld. Have you read it?
I haven't.
Everyone's reading Curtin Sittenfeld at the moment because of a romantic comedy, which like, I liked, but isn't my favorite book ever. But I'm just happy that people are reading it so they could read her other books. It's basically like a fictionalized version of Laura Bush's life. Mm-hmm. She was the wife of George W. Bush. And see it from her perspective, all fictionalized. And him doing his terrible decisions, not being the most popular president in so many ways, or not saying the most popular president, but polarizing,
yeah,
maybe.
Absolutely.
But seeing from inside her world, it's not a viewpoint you would usually see or usually be open to from reading the news. So that makes sense.
It does.
I love seeing other people's lives and their intentions, their motivations, and why they make their decisions. It's a crazy decision. Stop it. But they make it anyway.
I mean, on that, do you find that you read more fiction because it kind of gives you that?
I read a bit of both. Like, yeah. I know some people like only read nonfiction or only read fiction, but I read both and I think the balance is good. If I read too much nonfiction, it's a bit like, I get it. And then sometimes an embarrassing genre I read, my friends pay me out for, is that I lightly touch on like self-helpy kind of books.
That is not embarrassing in
the
slightest.
It's a little embarrassing. No. Also because they kind of say the same thing over again.
Oh, for sure.
And I just say it to, like, I read it to myself, feel better, but I don't do it. And, you know, they always like, should meditate more and exercise more and eat better and sleep more. Like, you know, we all know the stuff.
It's common sense, but I got stuff on.
Yeah. If you read too much of that, it's just too much. You have to like cut it through with fiction and get into someone else's shoes and someone else's world.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, perhaps you're not spending 25 minutes meditating of a morning, but you are.
No, I'm not that person.
You're very busy though. So when is your favorite time to read?
Gosh, actually, fortunately, because I came here from Sydney, I smashed a book on the way here, like read it on the plane. Then I usually would catch an Uber from the airport. Then I was like, no, I'm going to take the Sky Bus.
Ooh.
And I could read it on the bus. And it was Good Material by Dolly Alternate, which I know everyone here loves.
I haven't read it yet, but
it is good.
You recommend it. Obviously, I have seen beautiful Michelle and Zara recommend it. The entire Shameless team.
I know. I'm like, I feel like I'm not giving you anything new because it's a good book. But when I put on my Instagram, there was a lot of extreme reactions about how people felt at that book.
Okay.
Which I thought was interesting. But rather than pick it on my phone, I'm trying to just pick up a book.
Yeah.
And trying to put my phone on silent, switch it off, put it in another room, because once it's in the room, you kind of feel like you want to pick it up and that's what your brain tells you to do, but just pick up a book instead.
Yeah.
So at night, can't do it in the mornings, I'm not a morning person, after work, after dinner, after the baby's gone to bed. If I love a book, I won't put it down.
You mentioned you've flown down from Sydney to join us today. Mm-hmm. Run us through your career path.
So I grew up and I was like, I really want to work in magazines. The magazines was like the be all and end all. The movies out like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days and Devil Wears Prada. And I was like, I could be the Kate Hudson.
Absolutely.
you can put on a backless yellow
dress and see what happens.
And then obviously, you know, the writing bit. I was like, that will come on the side. That'll work out. So went to uni. My parents were like, you're a failed, dropped out law student. What a disappointment. But hopefully I think it's been okay in the end. And then
Hopefully.
And then I cold emailed American Vogue and I interned there when I was in uni holidays and I took myself there.
Let's not gloss over this. So you cold emailed.
Yep.
Did they come back immediately and say
they came back and it was like a good period because like they didn't have interns in and it was like the Australian summer holidays of uni.
Stop
so I went
it.
From like December to February. I did that for 3 months and I was interning at Women's Wear Daily, which like at the time was like the preeminent trade publication. I did that for 3 months straight, came back, and then I applied for internships in Sydney, worked my way up, ended up working at Harper's Bazaar and Vogue, then came down to Melbourne to work at Mecca. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. You also write fashion advice for our beloved Ask Shameless newsletter. You have such a distinct writing style that...
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you.
You do. I love it. The audience loves it, clearly. Talk me through your relationship with writing and how you have worked to build quite a distinct tone of voice.
I feel like I write how I speak.
Yeah, I would agree with that entirely.
So I like, as I'm writing, like my own voices in my head. And I just love things like short and sharp and snappy. So like the best writing advice I got was kill your puppies.
Yeah.
It sounds really like
no,
harsh
I got the
and
same
fun.
Advice
yeah.
at uni. Yeah.
And like, you know, sometimes I'll read my own work and I was like, oh, I fell in love with a bit too much of my own writing.
Yeah.
Got to start cutting. And I think once you learn how to edit yourself, it lets all the good stuff shine. And sometimes it kills me when you have to like cut out a really great sentence or a great word, but you have to think of the overall picture of the work rather than that like one little golden moment.
Do you think you've always written in your tone of voice, or is that something that you've kind of developed over time?
I think I've written in that tone of voice. It's interesting, I read, or maybe it was a podcast with a writer who had written at Vogue in America, and she said how her writing was really shaped to be quite Vogue-ified and how she kind of was at odds with that, whereas I felt like working at Australian Vogue, you're really celebrated and they loved you having your own writing style. Obviously within, you know, the subject matter and within the world of Vogue, but that's what made good writers good writers.
Yeah.
Like I remember commissioning Pandora Sykes way before the High Low podcast because I loved her writing and it was so distinctive. She had an interesting take. And even when I worked with freelancers at Vogue, I only wanted to work with freelancers who had a good take or a good angle, write in a way that I couldn't write or no one else my team could write.
I mean, from my perspective of someone that's reading a lot of these publications, it's very, not to get too inside baseball, but it's very clear when a publication has a really strict style guide.
Mm.
And then from the other side, that's very difficult to write too.
Yeah, exactly.
But you can tell when an editor or whoever's commissioned the piece has said, just go for it.
Yeah, and I think too, when nowadays people really look for that distinctive voice and people want that sort of intimacy. They don't want to read a publication where it's all one note.
Yes.
I think there are very few publications like that.
Yeah, I would agree with that wholeheartedly. You have spent really the majority of your career working in fashion, bringing it back to those early Babysitter's Club style influences. Would you say that books have in any way shaped your approach to fashion? Vice versa.
Oh, off the top of my head, I loved reading like coffee table fashion books.
Yeah.
And actually, one of my earliest memories of reading was my parents were the kind of parents where they were like, you're going to fit into our lives.
Yeah.
We're not going to like take you to a kids center. So they would take me to like lunch with at their friend's place.
Oh,
and
I had
like
the same experience.
Yeah, and you just get left there. And I'm like eight. And there's no, like back then there were no phones. Mm-hmm. There were no like stuff to play with. And so I'd sit in like someone's living room and just flip through books. I'd flip through the encyclopedia. So I read so much about fashion that way. Going to like random people's houses and reading the random coffee table books.
Wow. I mean, this makes sense. You spent that time reading people's coffee table books and here you are working in fashion and having spent many years as a writer. I sat there trying to have adult conversations and here I am as a podcast host. So it all ended up where we were supposed to. Do you have any words of wisdom or advice for Shameless Book Club listeners who are interested in getting a foot in the door within the fashion industry?
Nowadays, there's so much at your fingertips.
Mm.
Like you've got Instagram and if you follow someone, you can DM them.
Yeah.
And you can comment on them. You can start your own TikTok where you talk about something. Like one, a TikToker who I love who actually published a fashion book, Alison Bornstein.
Oh, my favorite.
Have you read the book?
No, I haven't.
It's really good.
And it's like, with the three word
I'm
method.
Obsessed with the three word and I read the book during the holidays. Her TikTok book marketing was really on point. Mm. I was like really on that journey with her.
Yeah.
I think just reading everything, you can create a TikTok, you can create an Instagram, you can create a Substack. And people who wouldn't necessarily have a foot in, I mean, I didn't have a foot in either. I just cold emailed. That's kind of the equivalent of cold emailing nowadays. Mm. You have your portfolio online. And I feel like there's this trend now online and in like on books, you know, we were talking about books and voices being so unique and authentic. People just want that authenticity.
Yeah.
They don't want a cookie cutter. And when you look at girls who want to work in fashion, the ones who really love it and will really stay there are the ones who know what their style is. They have an angle, they have a take on how to put the clothes together.
Yeah. I think I speak on behalf of a lot of people. Your Instagram feed is one of my favorite places.
Really?
Yes. You have impeccable style and you have a way with words and we all just love you. But how did you build your online presence, your audience to where it is today?
It was just luck and timing.
Yeah.
And I think I was so fortunate to have the jobs that were like high profile at the time. I worked for great companies. And I think when you ask me about style or working in fashion or writing, I wouldn't say I'm like a very confident person, but I was very sure of myself and sure of my decisions and sure of what I wanted to wear and what I wanted to buy. And I was very comfortable with not buying into the trends, whether it's fashion trends or writing trends or anything else. I was very happy doing my own thing. I was the kid in school who like had lunch with my friends and I was like, I'm going to sit in the library alone and read. And I loved doing that. That kind of is like a theme in my life.
I mean, the reading plays into the fact that you're such a talented writer now.
Thank you.
So I think it all makes sense. Well, Zara, since we're here with Baileys, I think we should enjoy a Baileys together. I'm thinking we could make a Baileys hot Irish coffee. What do you think?
Oh, that sounds so good.
All right, let's do it. We're going to start with our coffee. We've already measured this out. How much coffee are you drinking a day?
Okay, look, I used to do 2 double shot cappuccinos a day.
Yeah.
So now I'm down to 2 normal coffees. I feel like that's an improvement.
Yeah, okay. The beauty of doing a Baileys hot Irish coffee is that you can do this with any flavour of Baileys that you like. I'm a Baileys purist.
Yeah, I think the original really works with the coffee flavour.
We're going to do 50 ml of our Baileys. Very bold of us to have both worn white today.
And I'm just like subtly standing back while still being supportive.
I feel like we've done the hard part without splashing it all over ourselves, so that's a win. Oh, it looks very nice. Let's do a little, a gentle cheers. Okay, Zara, we have our Baileys hot Irish coffee in front of us. That's delicious. Watch me get a whipped cream
mustache. I know, I was
mustache.
Like, you got cream on me.
No regrets. Okay. I feel like I have grilled you enough about work. Let's talk about you, shall we? You have found yourself with a free Friday night.
Yes.
What a luxury. Talk me through what you'd be doing. What are your go-to plans when you want to indulge?
Oh, when I want to indulge, I love cooking. So I'd probably do like a really fun cook. I'd bake a cake or something.
Ooh.
Depending on the time. And then I do love reading, maybe pick up a book. Look, we all do it. I would mindlessly scroll through social media a little bit. I think that's normal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe have a bath and I write my newsletter. I usually do it like in the evenings on the weekends. Ah. And it's like, you know, because I love writing, I love reading. So I'd be like, I'll work on it for half an hour. And like 3 hours later, it'll be like 1 a.m. And I was like, I need to get to bed. I'm trying to get to bed earlier is my goal.
Okay.
So that would probably be sort of the plan for an indulgent evening, an early bedtime.
I'm back on cooking. Do you have a signature dish?
My mum loves pavlovas. So when I was 7, I would make pavlovas for my mum at any occasion. So probably a pavlova. What else do I love? I love like roast chicken. I make wontons. Anything that I love to eat, I'll be like, I'm going to find out how to make it.
Well, I look forward to inviting myself over on a Friday night.
You've got to invite anytime, Gemma.
Perfect. I will take you up on that. How do you find pleasure and joy in the smaller moments?
Life is meant to be fun.
Yes.
You know, like life is meant to be fun and sometimes I'm like, don't do it if you're not enjoying yourself. And so especially when, not to sound all cheesy, but when you have a kid and you look at them really excited over things, or they see things a different way, or they like love, I mean, his favorite thing at the moment is a cardboard box for our coffee table because we haven't bought a coffee table yet. And I'm just like, there's joy in a cardboard box. There's joy in anything, everything. Every single moment I find, you can learn something from it. You can make something of it. It just depends on how you... It's like your mindset.
Yeah. Oh, that is the most beautiful advice. Well, on that, on the fact that life is supposed to be fun, are you someone who celebrates your achievements? And if so, how do you celebrate the wins?
I don't celebrate my achievements.
Oh, you must. You should begin.
I do celebrate the achievements. You know, I think life is fun, but I think I am pretty hard on myself.
Okay.
So I'm probably just thinking of the next thing I want to be doing, but having fun in between, if that makes sense.
It does. Well, I'm going to challenge you, aside from going to bed earlier, start
I know, I sound really unexcited,
no,
don't
you
I?
No, you don't. Not in okay. I sent a cold email to Vogue, but just start celebrating.
Yeah,
do
I think
it
that's
for me.
I think that's a really nice reminder.
Yeah, you're welcome. How do you reset for a new week? Do you have a routine or anything to hit the reset button?
How do I reset for a new week? My other thing this year is I have quite a clothing collection, as one can imagine. Like when you have access to like runway sample Prada and like, you know, traveling so much for work,
I go full body chill.
I go to like amazing designer consignment stores and buy like amazing pieces. So I am trying to consolidate that, reading a lot of Wear It Well, the Alison Bornstein book.
Yeah.
So I am trying to plan out my week, work out what I'm wearing, wearing, and then through that work out what I'm not wearing, sell it, donate it, I give it to friends. Mm. I'm just trying to like consolidate that part of my life. Yeah. And I feel like, so I love clothes and I love that part. If I sort out my wardrobe, that kind of helps me with the rest of the week, if that makes sense.
It does. It makes perfect sense.
Makes you think about what you're doing for that week.
Mm. I could be wrong, but I have a feeling you're going to struggle to answer this one because you are a bit self-deprecating in the not celebrating the achievements.
But like in a funny, hilarious way.
Absolutely. Of course. In what ways would you say that you are a tastemaker?
What a lovely accolade to be given. I think I'm always looking for what's new and what's interesting and not necessarily jumping on a trend, but like questioning why people would like it, why I like it, why I find it interesting. And I think the more you have that self-reflection or like critical questioning makes you open your mind and also think about how that can set a trend or how it's the next wave of consumer behavior.
We are going to finish with a couple of rapid fire book questions. You don't have to answer them in one word, but
okay.
We're talking pacey.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
How do you like to consume books?
How do I like to consume books with no distractions, no music, no phone? I can't understand people who have music and read at the same time.
Absolutely not.
Mayhem. Chaotic.
What is a book that you think deserves more love?
I think I mentioned American White by Coden Sittenfeld.
Yes.
I'm a big Sittenfeld fan. Also her short stories, You Think It, I'll Say It. A lot of people tell me they don't like short stories. Mm-hmm. This is the one to get you in. And also, can I squeeze in another book?
You may.
Nocturnes by Kazuo Ishiguro, which is another book of short stories. And again, I didn't think I was a short story person, but it's such a good book.
Noted. Okay, final question. You are usually the one setting the trends, but is there a book that you fell in love with after it became trendy online or TikTokified?
Okay, this is maybe an obvious one. Taylor Jenkins Reid books.
Yeah.
Because obviously they're huge and you read about them and they get so much hype. And then you see it on TikTok, you're like, is it really that good? Yes, it is really that good. Everyone should read Daisy and the Six, and everyone should read Carrie Soto Is Back. That's my favorite one of hers. And I think that's one that fits the genre where it's like rom-com-esque without a romantic relationship as the main center subject.
Sounds right up my alley. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to have a chat, Zara. The Tastemakers, in partnership with Bailey's Irish Cream Liqueur, will be dropping in your Shameless Book Club feed every fortnight. So keep an eye out for our next brilliant tastemaker joining us on the show very soon. To see videos of this conversation, check us out on Instagram at The Shameless Book Club. And for the full recipe that we used in this episode, check out the show notes. Thank you so much to Bailey's for allowing us to indulge and for bringing the tastemakers to life. And remember to always drink responsibly. Thank you so much for listening. Bye.
This podcast was recorded on Wurundjeri land. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land.
Oh, hi, it's Annabelle Lee and Louis Hansen here. We are your hosts of Everybody Has a Secret.
Woo!
Woo! We are here essentially just to let you know that we drop episodes every week now. Every damn Friday morning, we are in your ears.
That is so exciting. What a time to be in your ear holes. So essentially, each episode, we unpack the real life secrets of our listeners. So this is for everyone who loves, you know, just a little bit of gossip in their lives, which, let's be real, Annabelle, is all of us.
It's absolutely all of us. Don't lie. You all love gossip. So if you want to listen to our show, please do head to your favourite podcast app and listen now.
See you there.
Bye.